Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Jonathan Tate. I'm one of the associate pastors at Remnants of Christ Ministries. I'm still waking up in my brain. Now my body is moving, but, you know, thank you, Lord, for working with me. All right? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this awesome day. We thank you for a brand new start. We thank you for being able to approach you with boldness and confidence as our Father. We thank you for your word in Ephesians chapter 3 today that you will walk us through this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we are picking back up in Ephesians, but in the new chapter, chapter 3. And let's get started. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly." So, we look at verse 1 again. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." At this time, it is believed that Paul was under house arrest in Rome for preaching about Christ Jesus. So he's letting us know that despite my circumstances, you know, I'm still the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Again, we've talked about where Gentiles are anyone else that are outside of the Jews. So, you know, most of us at Running for Christ Ministries are Gentiles. And there are others, you know, obviously throughout the world. But despite Paul's circumstances, he's still fixed on the mission. He's still fixed on expanding God's kingdom. So it's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles as well. And he's making that clear while he's on house arrest. So for some people who would be trying to find a way outside of the house, or who would be focused on the stress of their situation of being under house arrest, Paul is focused on, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and I'm here because of Christ Jesus, and he's focused on the Gentiles, those who are not of Jewish descent. Amen? Amen. And I'm thankful for Paul and his focus because, you know, I work in corrections. And sometimes the folks who are actually under house arrest or under electronic monitoring, they will try to drive you crazy just to get out the house. And, you know, thankfully I don't have to watch them anymore, but, you know, they would call you at all times of night on the weekends. And I would have to tell them, look, at 5 o'clock, I'm off work and I work Monday through Friday. So if you don't get me before then, sit in the house. So, but Paul wasn't on that. Paul was thinking about Christ Jesus and thinking about us as Gentiles. Verse 2 says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." The administration of God's grace refers to here is the special stewardship, trust, or commitment that Paul had been given. And that comes from the Lord. You know, everything that we need and desire should be wrapped up in the Lord. And it's honestly just the truth. It's just what it is. So the Lord blessed him with that stewardship and that trust, commitment, and it grew through relationship, Paul's relationship with the Lord. And he had been assigned to preach the gospel, the good news to the Gentiles. So you know, because he had had the stewardship and the trust and the commitment, he could go forward with preaching that word to the Gentiles. So surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, already written briefly. So the mystery right here is that the word is for everyone. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for those who are of the religious sect. The word is for everyone because God always had us in mind. So we need to keep that in mind, you know, and that's one thing I fight Paul's circumstances, as, you know, you'll read throughout the Bible. He's so laser focused on the mission, preaching the gospel, the good news to each and every one, preaching the truth about Jesus Christ. And we can learn a lot from Paul and ask the Lord to help you focus more on his work and working for him, even on your job, even with as a parent, even as an uncle or aunt, a mentor, a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, whatever your role is, whatever the Lord has called you to do, ask for him to help you so that you can focus on what he needs you to be doing. Amen? Amen. So, and then at the back of the end of verse 3, it says, As I have already written briefly, this refers to either a letter that he had written to the church briefly before, or a letter that may not have gotten through. So either way, he's referring to an earlier writing to the church at Ephesus. Amen? Amen. Verse 4 says, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So I want to read to you, well, let's go to verse 6, to this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So again, the mystery was that we're all one body, and that's what Christ came to do. He came to unify, you know, not just to save us from our sins, past, present, and future, but to unify us as brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world for generations to come. So, you know, we read about and we talked about in the beginning how we were all chosen before the creation of the world. So the Lord knew at what space and time you were going to exist on earth. The Lord knew that he had chosen you for his family. You know, sometimes we have to really just pause and think about what he did in that moment. Out of all the billions of people that have been around, you know, in the past, that are right now and that are to come, he chose John before the world was created. He knew that I would be saved October 31st, 1987. He knew that today, you know, October 16th, that I would be sharing the word with thousands of people around the world. And I'm thankful that he chose me. I'm thankful that I can run to my daddy and call on him and talk to him about any and everything. And I'm also thankful for his instruction, because God cares about everything concerning his children. And I thank my big brother Jesus for going to the cross, not only to save me from my sins, but also to unify the family. Thank you, Lord. I got caught up in that moment just thinking about that. And, you know, that's why it's easy for me to love the Lord. You know, it really is. So we have our motivation to do better. Amen? Amen. This mystery is that through the gospel, the good news that Jesus was born, he died, he rose from the grave to save us from our sins, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise. Amen. Verse 7 says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. We definitely need to realize that without the Lord, we can do nothing. Without the Lord, truthfully, we are nothing. He sustains our lives. He gave us our lives, even as spirits before we hit our mother's womb. And now we have our being in him as his children. Even sinners, those who are not saved, I'll say that because we're all sinners. We're just saved by grace because of what Jesus did for us, but we still sin. But those who are not God's children, who are not saved, who have not confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even they benefit from the sun and oxygen and, you know, sight and hearing and, you know, smell and everything, being able to walk and talk. They benefit from that. So even them, they can't do anything without the Lord's help or the Lord granting them that for that day. So we truly need to be thankful to understand that if he gave me the power to walk and talk, the least I could do is be a servant of his gospel and to share because of his gift of grace and his working power in me and make this verse personal. Amen. Amen. Verse 8 says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul recognizes he's not pumped up. You know, he's not thinking more of himself than he ought to, as it talks about in Romans 12. He's embracing humility. And from time to time, I would tell people, embrace humility. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Don't think that it's all you that's making it happen. No, it's all the Lord that's making it happen. He may be using you. He may be working through you. But understand, he gets all the credit because he deserves it. So the truth of the matter is we're shady, no matter what we think of ourselves. We are sinners, but we're saved by grace, yet still sinners. So he's embracing the fact that, hey, he's saying, I'm the least of all God's people. This grace was given me. Lord gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't ask for it. He gave it to me. But because he gave it to me, I'm able to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And, you know, we find out everything we need to know about the Lord through revelation of his word and walking and talking with him. The Lord will move on your behalf. I went for a walk. I usually walk about 4 miles on Mondays and Tuesdays. And I stepped out to walk, and it looked like it was about to rain. It was super, you know, clouds were just hanging there dark. And I said, Father, I need you to hold that rain off until I get back to my spot now. And I appreciate you doing that because I don't want to be soaked. Literally, I kept on walking in faith, knowing that, hey, I went to my Father and I had a genuine request. And he granted that request. I literally felt maybe 3-4 drops. And I kept walking and I was able to make it back high and dry. So that's, you know, we can go to the Lord and we can talk to him and ask for things and he will grant those things. But I had to keep walking to exercise that faith as well as these legs. But I'm so thankful that we can do that because of Christ opening that up for us. Amen? Amen. Verse 9 says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So you have, remember, there are angels, there are demons, you know, in the spiritual realm that, you know, go back and forth. You know, and it's conflict, you know, but the Lord, out of all of the heavenly realms, the Lord chose us as his masterpiece at this day and time. At that time, with the Church of Ephesus, to share that his work, the mystery was that not just Israel, but the Gentiles would be one body because of what Christ did. You know, and we hold a special place in God's heart and in his eyes and in the heavenly realms. And a lot of times we don't realize it because we get so distracted with what's going on earth. You know, I'm sure that Paul had his distractions. He talked about, you know, a thorn in his side. He talked about feeling like he can't get right sometimes. He's talked about that in the New Testament. But Paul kept moving forward. He kept expanding God's kingdom and spreading the gospel, the good news, to not just the Israelites, but to the Gentiles. Because God had revealed the mystery to him, and he's revealed it to us in his word. Amen? Amen. Verse 11 says, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. There's no need. I love to hear people that pray boldly and they just talk to the Lord. We literally have the freedom and confidence because of what Jesus did, our big brother, to approach the throne, to approach God, our Father, and say, hey, Daddy, hold the rain off. Please and thank you. And he is like, you know, okay, I'll hold the rain off. And he's done that in the word. So this wasn't new, you know. I can't remember exactly the guy's name who asked the Lord to hold the rain off, but he did for years. So we can approach freely and boldly the throne and say, hey, Daddy, I need to kick it with you for a second. You know, my kids don't hesitate to run and jump, you know, me or grab my head or ask questions or interact with me. They don't. you know, especially that oldest boy, like, he always been up to my business. But, I mean, he's my son. He should be able to approach me freely and with confidence. And we should do the same with our Father who's in heaven because of what our big brother did for us. And not only that, the Father is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit, you know, kicking it with us, inside of us, God's very presence, the third person of the Godhead, stand in mind. Amen? Amen. And verse 13 says, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So, Paul is letting them know, hey, don't be discouraged because of what I'm going through. Paul has made the commitment to go through that because of what the Lord has done for him and is continuing to do for him. And he's laser focused on getting that mission accomplished. So help us, let's remember that as we move through each and every day, that we should be concerned about the mission, expanding God's kingdom and pressing forward his agenda. Amen. That's a good place to stop. Next week, we'll pick up at verse 14 of chapter 3. Lord, we thank you for helping us move through that lesson. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to slow down and calm down. Just get through the word. Thank you for this awesome day. Thank you for the love that you provide and the grace and the mystery that's been revealed. And I thank you for allowing us to freely and boldly come before you and kick it with you. We say thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. I love it when you talk about your son. I like the way you guys interact well. And I'm just glad that he has you in his life and that you're a good model, you know, for him to model after. That's just so cool.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Two sons growing up. Tall, modeling, looking at you.
Yes, Lord.
That's good. I like that. That's the best thing. Yeah, you sure did break it down for us this morning. It was clear, and I'm sure everybody understood that and got a lot out of it because you talked about our needs and desires should be wrapped up in the Lord, and we need to just ask God for everything that we, you know, desire because he owns it all. And I guess that's the best person to ask, you know, if we really
indeed.
Want it.
Yes, indeed.
Then our roles, you know, we all got a role to play, and he has a lot of work for us to do, a lot of work. So I guess we need to ask him. Then you say ask him for what it is he wants us to do so we can get busy doing it and doing it for him because he has a lot for us to do. We just have to be willing to do it.
Yes.
He has something for all of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so very good lesson. And what else did you say? He's the one that makes it all happen. He said, be humble. Because the Lord is the one making it all happen. And he gets all the credit for any and everything that we do. Because we can't do it without him. We can't wake up. We can't drive nowhere safely unless we ask him. You know, we get through a lot of times driving and going off on our own. We get there safely, but it's better to ask him to get us there safely, you know, to make
sure,
you know, a whole lot more confidence. Yep. And, so that was a very good lesson. God gets all the credit for everything that we do. We're happy to do it for him. Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Very, very good lesson, King Jonathan. I think that was awesome. That was a very good lesson. We really can't wait to hear more about that. And, so thank you. We appreciate you. And go ahead, put them big boys in the headlock. You got arms for both of them. Put them on both sides, you know.
That's right.
And the headlock, 'cause them some big boys.
Yeah.
But you can still put them in the headlock.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your day. We appreciate you. We appreciate that lesson. It was very understandable, and we can't wait to hear more next week.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay. You too. Thanks. Appreciate you.
All right.
You. All right. Okay. Best day ever. All right. Listen, get your coffee. And on the other side of this song, we are going to go into our Saturday morning worship service, and we're just going to get it going, okay? See you on the other side.
The very first thought on my mind when I wake.
Everybody like it. Yes, that was a good upbeat song to start out this morning. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we will be reading, we have this morning to help us do so, is our very own deaconess, Loretta Welch, and she's celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday. Thanks for being with us, Miss Loretta.
Thank you, Kathy, and good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries family. First of all, I'd like to give honor to God, who's the head of my life, who has given me the joy to be in this world for 60 years.
Hallelujah.
And the scripture that I'm going to read is coming from Colossians 3, 1 through 15. And it reads as follows. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of the anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself in the tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your life, in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayer, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for opening up with our scripture and prayer, and we appreciate you, and have a great day.
All right, and you do the same.
Okay, enjoy your birthday.
I will.
All right. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord and we have prayed, hold on to your seat because we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm
I need you. Amen. When we recognize that we are not infinite but very finite, that's when we recognize our need for him. And remember, that is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He didn't need the Lord. He wanted to be like the Lord. He said over there in Isaiah 14 over and over and over, I'm going to be like God. Without knowing it, he was loving God. He was wanting to be like God. In other words, he wanted to be like God apart from God. But God has made us his children, as Pastor Jonathan Tate taught us this morning. Amen. And he wants us to be like Christ, but not apart from Christ. Amen. Accept his lordship. Accept his head. Amen. His kingdom. Amen. 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 That's why we have to love Jesus. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the less you'll fall in love with the things that don't make him so happy, right?
All things have passed away. Your love has changed the same. Your constant presence remains the cornerstone. We want to tell you we love you. We sing this song to you, Jesus. We want to tell you you're our everything. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Amen. Jesus is the one who made it able for us to be able to love him like we do. Without Jesus, you can't love Jesus. But because the Lord God our Father gave us our Lord and Savior Jesus, now we can cry, Abba, Father. That's what that means in Romans chapter 8. We can't cry that without Jesus. But the Father gave us Jesus because he knew that we needed somebody who could make us able to live with him forever, forever, ever, and ever, and ever. Again, and they never run out. Amen. And that is why God deserves our praise. He doesn't deserve our anxiety, our depression, our worry, all of those things, our lacks of faith. All of those things say God can't. I don't know about you, but I believe God can. And so no matter what I'm going through, no matter what my circumstance or situation is, he deserves praise. He didn't do it. He's going to bring you out of it.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place.
Come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah.
Come on.
hands together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on in concert and say it.
My hallelujah.
Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve it. My hallelujah belongs to you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns. Because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear, and doing triple-double duty, is our very own shepherd, Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our shepherd, Gerald Marshall Overall, pastoral praise to the Lord. Amen.
I'm gonna wait on you, help me to wait on you, help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you, I wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true, stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. And Lord, help me to seek your face while I'm I'll continue praising you while I wait. Oh, wait. Help me to wait on. Help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'm waiting for you to see me through. Hiding your word. You know it's true. Stand still. Do you tell me to move? I'm going to wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, I'm hiding your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. Praising you, oh, while I wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, hide in your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. I'll wait until I hear from you. Somebody may need to wait for God to tell you.
somebody tell him, wait on, just wait on, and wait on,
wait on, wait on,
trust is the way and
wait on,
wait on, be still and
wait on,
just wait on and
wait on.
Patient and amen. Be encouraged while you wait. I remember listening to Joyce Meyer a long time ago, and the Lord used her as one of my major teachers. My major teacher, really, to this day. And she taught a lesson about learn to enjoy the journey along the way. You know, you don't want to go to the promised land like Israel. All they did was moan and groan all the way, until God couldn't take it no more, and they never did make it. So we don't want to go like that. What we want to do is have a more excellent spirit. That's what the Lord said about Joshua and Caleb, that they had a more excellent spirit. So a more excellent spirit in the Lord's eyes trusts, leans, and relies on him no matter what's going on in the culture, in the world, you know, in the spiritual kingdom, you know, whether Satan is launching an attack or his demons, it doesn't matter. We, like Paul and Silas, amen, we patiently wait on him while we sit in that Philippian jail waiting for God to rescue us or to deliver us to him, amen. But either way, it'll be rescued from them or delivered from them, whichever way we could with that, amen. As many times as the Lord has brought us through something, we ought to have learned by now that God's going to get us through this too. Amen. So the Lord tells us when we pray to not approach him in a begging kind of way or in a way where God has somehow lost power and things are just out of control and we're informing him. He don't want us to act like the disciples did when they was on the boat with Jesus. And since Jesus knew they had a two-hour trip from one side to the other, he pulled up a cushion, rolled it up, and used it for a pillow and went to sleep in the storm. But his disciples, they run around trying to be all that for a little while, but pretty soon they had enough of that, and they went to Jesus and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They came to two wrong conclusions. They said he didn't care. And on the other hand, they said, "We're going to die. We just want you to know, we know you don't care, and we want you to know we're going to die." That's it. See, God don't want us to come to him like that. He wants us to come in faith. He wants us to come like the folks who wasn't even Jews. They came to Jesus, and they said, "Heal my son, heal my servant, heal my daughter." And they wasn't even Jews. And Jesus said, "I haven't found this kind of faith in all Israel." So we don't want to be like that. We want to approach the Lord knowing that he knows full well we have need of all these things, and we need to remember that the Lord knows what things we have need of even before we ask him. So with that, let's approach him, amen, in a way that's acceptable to him. Lord God, our Father, we begin our prayer by giving thanks to you, thanking you for being all that you are. We've just touched on just a little bit of who you are, no matter how much we know. Even if we could recite to you from Genesis 1:1 verbatim to Revelations 22:21, we still wouldn't know you. All we would find out is that you loved us in spite of us, and that you sent a Savior to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. You sent Jesus to save us. That was our biggest problem. Out of everything that happened in that garden, what really happened is we lost our relationship with you. And that is what you came to restore. You wanted us to be yours. And as Pastor Tate opened up to us that mystery, he opened up a mystery that previously had been hidden to the whole world till Jesus came. And then it was made known to everybody who would listen that Jesus came to reconcile us back to you. And when Jesus rose back into heaven, oh, Father, you gave us this ministry of reconciliation. You are reconciling the world back to yourself through the gospel message that we preach, that you have privileged us to be able to tell somebody that Jesus died and that Jesus was buried and that Jesus was raised up on the third day, not just so that you could say, I did it, but so that you could say, it's done. It's finished. The work of reconciliation between man and God has been accomplished. And now all we have to do is believe your report concerning your only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him, just believe, will not perish but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you that you did not send your Son into the world to condemn us, or we'd be condemned without hope. But you sent your Son into this world that we might be saved through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. We cannot thank you enough for that. And as we learned from Pastor Tate this morning, that you did all of this before our parents even knew each other. You decided in heaven that we would become your children. You loved us before we knew we were us. And we thank you for that. We're grateful for that. We praise you for that. You deserve our total praise, Heavenly Father, because you've done it all for us just because you wanted to. You've taught a word to us called grace. We found out that word is unmerited favor. You did it just because you wanted to, and you did it to give us the power to be able to live for you in this wicked world in which we live. Father, wickedness is all over the place, but I know I'm not telling you nothing because you told us in the Bible that these things would happen. You told us over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 exactly what would be going on. And you even mentioned that some folks who claim to be Christians would be acting like that, but they would deny the very power of God by the way they live. So, Heavenly Father, we know we're in some horrible and terrible times. But in these horrible and terrible times, your word to us is to rejoice. And you said not because we're crazy or we don't recognize that things are bad, but because we recognize that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is on his way back to get us. And Father, that should carry us through every single day. That should make us like Anna over there in chapter 2, who lived in anticipation, in expectancy of her Savior to come. That should make us like Simeon in that same chapter, who you told, Father, his eyes would not close on this side until he saw the salvation of Israel. And he did. And now you have made these wonderful promises to us that we cannot even fathom. And we know just as their eyes saw the Savior, our eyes will see him. Just as Job told us, even though skin worms destroyed this flesh, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see him and not another. Oh, Father, what have you done for us? What have you done? You've given us eternal life. You've given us the power to say to mountains, be removed into the sea. And if we say that to these mountainous problems, these mountainous situations that we face every single day, if we believe in our heart and we don't doubt, then we will see it come to pass. Jesus, we don't want to be those folks who lived over there in Capernaum where you grew up. And Jesus, they had become offended in you because they knew you growing up as a child. They grew up in the neighborhood with you. They went to school with you. And so when you became an adult and started your public ministry, they were offended in you. And Jesus, you couldn't do many miracles there. Not because you didn't have the same power you did everywhere else where they brought all who were ill unto you and you healed them all, but because of their unbelief. Help us, Lord, not to be like them. You told us that the whole Old Testament was written for an example to us that we should not be like them. They were faithless. I don't know why we think we're so privileged because we're in Christ, Father, that we should not have to face these times when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, told us we would have trials and tribulations. But he also said, be of good cheer because through him we've already overcome all these things. We just need to use our faith so we can see the Red Sea part, so we can live where you can't live, so we can beat up people we can't beat up, and so we can cross rivers that's at flood stage, and so we can knock down walls with no tools. Help us, Father, to live, to see that kind of God and Father operating in our lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to work his power through us. Jesus, you gave us the Holy Spirit so we would not be like orphans left without a father, but you also gave the Holy Spirit to give us power to do what you called us to do. You said, Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will have power. Then we could be your witnesses because we need your power to witness. The world attacked those disciples. They tried to snuff them out. The devil tried to wipe the church out as a baby. But you held the church up. You made it strong. And no matter what Rome or the Jewish nation or what Satan did working through those nations and people, no matter what he did, they couldn't snuff it out. And here it is today because you prayed over in John chapter 17. You said, Father, I'm not just praying for them, but for everybody who's going to believe on me. According to these disciples that I'm going to use to write what they're going to call a Bible, a New Testament, God's new covenant, his new way of making world the man right with him. Father, I love to talk to you. You know I do, and we talk every day, all day, but this is Blog Talk Radio, and I got to go. But, Lord, you know the heart and minds of all your people. You know exactly why they're facing what they're facing. You know exactly why they need what they need. You're calling on them to trust, lean, and rely on you. And you've allowed these situations and circumstances to exist so they can come close to you so that they can know, stand still, and see what you can do. So, Father, we thank you for all our houses, cars, and clothes. We thank you for the food we eat too much of. We thank you for the exercise equipment you get to work off the food we ate too much of. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all our illnesses that you gone healed. They already healed. When Jesus got up, we were straight. We thank you for all of that. But help us, Lord, to live every day, to lead somebody to Christ, to teach somebody in Christ, and to help somebody in need, whether in or out of Christ. In your name, Father, you know it all, see it all, bless it all. In your name, Lord Jesus, we ask all of this to our Father in heaven. Amen.
Lord, hear our prayer. Power in prayer and faith. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for praying and making our requests known to God. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir. So far, we are having a great time this morning, and I am truly, truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person, and as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God, icing on the cake, the best part. The next voice you will hear following this song selection and doing double duty is our very own Brother Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful worship experience you've allowed us to engage in. We thank you for each and every one that's listening, for their instructions from your word. And we thank you for the salvation that's already taken place for those who are listening. And for those who aren't saved, we pray that they would be saved before the end of this broadcast. We love you. We need you. Help us to show our appreciation in action and our love as well. Thank you, Lord. Move me out of the way. Help me to be a vessel for you today. Thank you for this audience, and thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters around the world. To Pastor O, thank you for the opportunity to share the word. It's one thing that we know at Running for Christ is that Pastor O will put us to work. He's a great delegator, but he also leads by example, and I'm so thankful that he's my pastor and my brother in Christ. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Thankful for Kathy. Thank you for Lo. Just thankful for Blog Talk Radio. The word that the Lord blessed today for this audience is Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I will be reading from the New International Version. Ecclesiastes 7, and we will be reading verses 7 through 10. Ecclesiastes 7:7 says, "Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. End of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' For it is not wise to ask such questions." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Ecclesiastes 7:7, extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Time and time again, I've seen where money has corrupted a thing. You know, people always say, well, money talks, fuses your judgment, because we make money a god. And so many times we forget that money is just a tool that the Lord allowed us to have and to work with. And it says, extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Times, and read recently, where city council members, you know, folks in law enforcement, you know, politicians, leaders, you know, just, you know, witnesses for cases and whatnot, they accept money and it clouds their judgment, because they think that money is more important than what God says about a thing. The truth is what it is. And if God is the supreme being and creator and sustainer of life, and he's the one that provides for you, we need to embrace that. You know, I can't tell you how many times the Lord has come through for me financially. You know, I probably shared the story before where I was driving up Telegraph, and I've been laid off probably almost close to a year. And I said, Lord, I don't have my car payment. I don't have it. And I need your help. And the next day, my aunt called me, my Aunt Linda. She said, the Lord told me that you need your car note paid. So meet me at the store. And, you know, that still warms my heart. The Lord heard me, and he moved so quickly. You know, this year alone, within the last year, I've received probably about 3 or 4 checks back from the friend of the court in terms of overpayment of child support. Just yesterday, I got an email from the Department of Education that said 19 payments on my student loans have been released because of me working for the government and for nonprofit organizations. Because they have a program where they will forgive a certain amount of loans based upon what you do for a living in terms of working for the government or nonprofit. Those are things that just don't happen, you know, on a regular basis. That's all God's favor. So why should I be corrupted or tainted because of money when the Lord has clearly shown me that he runs the show with my finances? Oh, let me backtrack. The first thing I do when I get paid from anything is I tithe. I give 10% of my gross back to the Lord. And once he showed me that, two things that I needed to do, pay tithes and pay my taxes, he showed me that maybe about 4 years ago. And I haven't missed a beat. I haven't struggled financially because even at this day and time, he continues to instruct me and say, hey, don't pull up in that drive-thru. Go home and cook. You know, the Lord will help you if there's a need financially. You don't have to sell your soul or commit a crime or taint your judgment. You just have to be his son and his daughter and trust him and have faith in him. So we don't have to engage in bribery or extortion. We could just trust the Lord. When I needed to make more money, he told me, we'll get you another job. And people always joke and call me Jamaican because I have 3 and I'm still working on other projects because people pull me into them, but I know it's the Lord's doing, so I just do what I'm called to do. And he takes care of the rest, but I have to do my part. Amen? Amen. Verse 8 in Ecclesiastes 7 says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. So many times we want to avoid hard work, and we want to skip through the journey to get to, to get to the finish line. I always tell my sons that you can't escape hard work. You're going to have to engage in it, so it's best that you practice working hard. You practice giving your all. You practice doing your best. We're God's sons and daughters, and he always provides us his best. He doesn't hold back from his children. He's constantly giving us the best. So we always want to get to the end of a matter and say, you know, it's better than its beginning. But the reality is if you trust the Lord, you will hold his hand and you will walk through the journey. You will walk through any trial or tribulation that you're facing, holding his hand, receiving his guidance, his love, and his protection, because he's going to do that. He's daddy. And patience is better than pride. You know, people have said patience is a virtue. I've learned that patience is something that you really want to hold on to and to actually take your time and be patient and work through a thing. And remember, we're not alone in working through. You can call on daddy. You can say, hey, Brother Jesus, look, I need you. You can say, Holy Spirit, Counselor, I need you. We have access to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as family members, as sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters. So we don't have to rush through something. We don't have to try to concentrate on the finish line. You have to embrace the journey. And I learned that from a good friend of mine. She's going on to glory, Nicole Edwards. This is John John's mother. And she would always say, hey, quit trying to get to the finish line. Enjoy the journey. Embrace it so that you can pay attention to the details along the way that the Lord is showing you. You know, I remember times being on road trips with my family and just looking out the window, you know, looking at the trees and the road and different cars and just enjoying the journey to and from our destination, you know. So let's, you know, it's okay to consider the finish line, but you have to work to get there. And you have to trust the Lord along the way and embrace the journey. Amen. Amen. Verse 9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. You know, there are so many people who are incarcerated or dead because they were so quick to jump off and pop off and express their anger and displeasure in a way that wasn't productive for themselves or others. And some people are spending the rest of their lives in prison or are not even on this earth anymore because of that. I'm not judging anybody because genetically I have a horrible temper. You know, I could trace it all the way back. My mother, my grandfather, my great-grandmother. I could trace it back a few generations. My oldest son, same way. Have horrible tempers. Once we get angry, it's extremely difficult to calm us down. Once we get past that point of no return, it's extremely difficult for us to settle down. So I have learned, and the Lord has worked with me over the years, the years and years and years since I was a kid, that I had to have a productive way to express my displeasure or to work through my anger. That's one of the reasons why I exercise 5 days a week. That's one of the reasons why I'll just get quiet sometimes, or I'll take a drive, or I'll take a walk. And the Lord taught me that, and he worked with me through that. And if he could do that with me, he could do that with anyone, because I've been this way since I was a kid. It's genetic. I have it on. So when he says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools, it's true. sometimes you have to say, you know, I watch cartoons, and I remember watching, you know, it was a bear. He got real angry, just turned red. He had to kind of count down so he could return to his natural color. And sometimes we have to do that, and we have to say, there have been times, I remember one time I was super angry with my father. And I pulled over and I said, Lord, help me. That was my prayer. And one of my big brothers pulled up next to me and he said, hey, what's going on? And I said, I need to talk to you. And he helped me calm down and he helped me understand, because the Lord had sent him at that moment in time. He was my ram in the bush. I was super angry. I was on fire. And that's what happens when I get angry. So I tell people, I leave that bear locked in a cage, that side of John that, you know, needs to be asleep and relaxed, you know, and the Lord has to put, he put the lock on that cage so that I'm not quickly provoked and I'm not acting foolish out of anger. You know, because sometimes we want to tell people about themselves. We want to let people know how we feel about something. Sometimes it's just best to close your mouth and say, Lord, help. Amen? Because I don't want to see any of my brothers and sisters locked up or leaving this earth before their time because of anger, when all they had to do was call on Jesus. Amen? Amen. 10 of Ecclesiastes 7 says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. You know, I've heard so many times over the years, folks say, and back in the day, remember this back in the day? You know, it was better back then. You know, this girl had all black businesses and, you know, you could get everything you needed. Well, the reality is those days are gone. The Lord has blessed you with today. He brought you from the 70s on to 2021. And I think it's a slap in the face when you're not thankful for where you are right now today. Because that whole time, especially as God's son or daughter, he was right by your side through the 70s, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, on up until today. That's why you look at the second part of verse 10, it says, for it is not wise to ask such questions. You questioning why things were a certain way, like the old days were better than these, when you need to be focused on today. Now, it's cool to reflect on the past as it helps you in the present and moving towards the future. But we can't go backwards. You know, people that typically go backwards in life, they get stuck going backwards. The transmission blows all the other gears and they're stuck in reverse. But the Lord blessed you with a brand new day today. That's one thing that I always say, Lord, thank you for a brand new day, brand new mercies and grace for today. We have never experienced today. So it's a brand new experience. As a gift from the Lord, he gave you another day to try to get it right, to tell somebody about Jesus, to try to put some of those things down that you need to put down and stay away from those people that you need to stay away from. Yes, we can reflect on, I remember when I did this and it worked out for me, so maybe I need to continue and I need to tell somebody about, hey, this is how you fix your credit. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. These are things that we need to engage in, because the Lord has work for us to do today. Whatever you were supposed to do yesterday and didn't get it done, it's over with. Reminiscing about back in the days is not going to help you move forward. Yeah, back in the days was cool. Hey, sometimes I thought back in my 20s I was living my best life. I love living the life that I have at 44 today because the Lord blessed me with it. He's taught me so much from 20 to 44. I can't thank him enough for where he's brought me from to where he has me. And the future that I consider all the time is, man, heaven is going to be so awesome when we leave here. And then when we get to come back and rule with Christ, our big brother, it's going to even be more awesome on earth, a brand new world. But, you know, if you're not saved, you won't be experiencing this. Your future looks bleak. Your future is hell. Hell was reserved for Satan and those demons, those fallen angels. You have the opportunity right now to change your future for all eternity. What the word says is true. Jesus did live. He walked the earth. He died and he rose from the grave and paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. If you believe that, that's half the battle. The thief on the cross believed that, and he's in paradise because the Lord told him, because he believed. Now for us, because we're not on the cross at Calvary, because of what Jesus did for us, once we believe that he paid for our sins, all we have to do is confess and invite him into our hearts and lives. So if you believe that Jesus died for all of your sins and rose from the grave, that's why we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, because of the Easter Bunny. If you believe that, then all you have to do is repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you died for my sins and you rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins. I invite you into my heart and life right now so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believe that he died and rose for your sins, all of them, past, present, and future, and you prayed that prayer, then you're saved. All you have to do now is get into a good Bible-based church. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, we invite you to Running for Christ Ministries. But get into a good Bible-based church. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you for this awesome word. Help us to digest your word and to put it into our lives and to practice, so that we can teach people and share your word. The world needs you. More people need to be saved. So we have a job to do without hesitation to tell somebody about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful word. You know, I was sitting back and listening to you, Jonathan. I was thinking about a time when, like you were saying, you know, quick to anger, and it's like 0 to 100. And so I thought back to times where I have gone from 0 to 100, and it's almost like an outer body experience. It's kind of weird because at that point in time, it's almost like you have no control over yourself, what you're thinking, what you're doing. And I've thought about times where I've, you know, somebody has given me the finger and we've been at the light together, pulled into a place together, and I have literally gotten out of my car and gone over to that person's window. And I think in retrospect how God kept me in those situations, because anything could have happened, you know, and this was years ago. But, I mean, the grace and mercy of God is unbelievable, and it's most definitely undeserved, especially when we are just so out of pocket in some of the things that we do. But, you know, it's so wonderful to know that no matter what, no matter who we were and even who we are today and the mistakes that we make, that, that, you know, we're never too far from the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy of God. So once we ask for forgiveness, he forgets it. And so we have to learn how to give ourselves grace and forgive ourselves for the things that we've done, because if God is not holding it against us, then we shouldn't be holding it against ourselves. And because we have a new day, every day that we're allowed to open our eyes is a day for us to be better than the day before. So that word was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. I know you've been on here a couple times today, so we're going to give you a chance to clear your brain. So we thank you for the word that you brought to us today. And so, of course, after I do announcements, I'm going to come back with the preachers to give us some closing words. Amen. So good morning, everybody. It is Saturday. It's the best day of the week as far as I'm concerned, because I don't have to work. Amen. So happy Saturday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old listeners, and as always, our new listeners who tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service. It's been amazing. Now, I just want to say that normally I am in the business of blocking people and dismissing people from Blog Talk Radio when they just really, really take us there. So in case Pastor O wasn't on the list before, he probably has been over the years, but because he's the pastor, we kind of got to let him back in. But after that prayer that he did today, Pastor is officially blocked, banned from Blog Talk Radio. So you all will not hear Pastor O's voice anymore, because that prayer today was amazing. It was emotional, and it just expresses the love that he has for the Lord. And once you have been brought through some things, the love for the Lord that you have is just something that you just have to put out there. So the prayer was amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. But Pastor O will no longer be joining us here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. So, again, it's been a wonderful day in the Lord today, and we always just want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour, and that's Pastor Jonathan Tate. You know, he always brings us a good word. He taught our church school today. It's been absolutely wonderful, and we know that he is always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord, and so we thank him, as always, for his faithfulness and his consistency, but most of all, his obedience, amen? And so we pray that you all were blessed in some way by what you heard today, whether it was the church school or scripture and prayer or the songs or even the sermon or even these announcements. If you just now getting touched and getting blessed by what you heard today, it's perfectly fine as long as you get you some Jesus, all right? So we're just so thankful for everybody who's tuned in today, man. Running for Christ Ministry, the best place to be, okay, is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. And just a couple reminders, excuse me, of course, every Monday at 6 p.m., we have our new class. So, so good. Get a grip. Amen. It's here on Blog Talk Radio every Monday at 6 p.m. Each week, we are discussing different topics on mental health and Christianity and learning how to keep it together when things go wrong. So, look, if you think that stuff that you go through in this life or the stuff that you've experienced or the stuff that you're seeing, if you feel like, I don't read the word because there's nothing in that word that speaks to what's going on, you definitely want to tune into this class, because everything that we talk about, everything that we, you know, have going on, we correlated and related right back to the word of God. So there is a word in the Bible that speaks directly to whatever it is that you could possibly go through in this life. Amen. So please tune in every Monday at 6 p.m. for Get a Grip, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, amazing, amazing teacher. So again, Monday, 6 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio. Mental health is so, so important. As soon as something happens, there's some type of tragedy somewhere, some type of mass shooting somewhere, the first thing that a person says is mental health. Mentally, this person has been having issues. Mentally, this person, you know, their families have been concerned about them. They said something I thought was kind of weird, but I probably should have pursued it more, that type of thing. So there are warning signs there, but it's always going back to our mental health. So it's really, really important that we spread the word about this class and let somebody know what's going on Monday, 6 p.m. Study questions are available on our church website. I do believe that there will be copies on the back table on Sundays for those who are in person at church, if you're not able to get them off the website. Amen. Also, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall on Blog Talk Radio, teaching and training day. If y'all ain't listening to that, I'm telling you, y'all are missing out, okay? So set yourself a reminder every week for it to go off, maybe at, not 4 o'clock, like 3:55. If it needs to go off like 5 minutes before, just in case you're super busy, set a reminder to tune in. Amen. It is amazing. Every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Also, of course, you know, we have our Bible reading class here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. We are going into a new book. We are going into the book of Psalms, amen. So Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, our amazing presiding person, will be teaching chapters 1 through 5. Questions are available online for you to access. And again, for those of you who will be in attendance in Sunday service, they will be on the back table. Also, if you need to pull them from our website, excuse me, rfcm.org, under Bible classes is the place to go. Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, it's our ladies' Bible class taught by Pastor Janice Tate. It's happening from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 258 Polk Street in River Rouge. So if you would like to attend this strictly for the ladies, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. She is an amazing teacher. So if you want to get in on some of that, it's happening every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 258 Polk Street in River Rouge. Amen. So again, as you all know, we're back in person in our Sunday services. So tomorrow, Sunday, October 17th already, wow, we will be having our Sunday worship service, of course, beginning at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome to join us. But if you do, we are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. And, of course, if you don't have one, it's no problem. One will be provided for you so that everybody can remain safe in our service. Our amazing praise team, as always, will lead us in song worship. And Pastor O is bringing us the preached word. Amen. So we are most definitely looking forward to that. And we just continue to say thank God, you know, for allowing us to return in person to see one another. Again, if you're not able to attend or are still not comfortable being in person, that's absolutely no problem. We fully understand. So just please feel free to listen to the service on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen. So Wednesday, October the 27th, which should be the fourth Wednesday of this month. And we got one more month till November, so next month, from about 10 a.m. for setup until approximately 1:30 p.m. You know, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, and anyone else who wants to join in is out in front of Running for Christ Ministries at the bus stop, praying with people, rededicating, restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles, and lunches, and having conversations with those who are, you know, driving by, those who tend to stop, and people who get off the bus. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of this month, which is October 27th, please do. Amen. As all are welcome. Amen. Amen. Also, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio on her with her own show, Back to the Family, which discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So you can find her call-in number on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Set yourself a reminder for every Sunday at 4 o'clock. You know, those of us that run for Christ Ministries, we don't have afternoon programs and stuff like that. So that's why it's important to set yourself a reminder for 4 o'clock on Sunday so that you don't miss this class, because we're used to not having anything on Sunday afternoon. So it's really good to set yourself a reminder so you can go in and listen to Deaconess Kathy's class. So set yourself a reminder again, 4 p.m. on Sundays. Also, the website for Bring Back the Family is BBTFUS, Bring Back TheFamilyUS.com. And if you need to find her phone number for her Blog Talk Radio, Bring Back the Family, as well as a link if you can't listen by phone, but if you want to listen by PC, again, rfcm.org under Christian Resources, and you will find that information there. Amen. Amen. So just as a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are always recorded, archived, but most of all, they are always free. Amen. So just visit rfcm.org, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all of our classes and our services since day one of Run for Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio, okay? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Download them. Go back and listen to them. But most of all, share them with others. Like Pastor used to say, it's only fair to share. Amen. If you'd like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries, want to give a free love, offering, or pay your tithes and offerings. Of course, again, rfcm.org is the place to go if you want to donate to any of our outreach ministries that we support. You know, our church website is the place to go, and you'll find all the information that you need there. In addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who preached the word to us today, again, rfcm.org, under tithes and offerings, and you can give your love offering there. Just make sure, excuse me, to notate who it's for, and it will be passed on to the preacher accordingly. Amen? Amen. So, without reading this whole long entire thing, which I probably should still do it anyway, so, look, five reasons why we pray, okay? One, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion. Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. We know that he's not unaware of what goes on with us. He's all-knowing, and nothing catches him by surprise. But we know that God is a gentleman, and he wants to be invited into our lives because he's not going to force himself in. Amen? Number three, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue, not a one-way conversation. Not you standing in front of your bathroom mirror talking to yourself, okay? It is a two-way conversation. It's a dialogue. Number four, God wants your heart. So when you speak to God, speak from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks good things and bad. So Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man, excuse me, brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yep, we got ugly stuff in our lives. So give him your heart. He can handle it. You can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number five, lastly, we simply pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Again, let me say that again, okay? We are not fighting against people, okay, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, so prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we have been given authority over him. So when he starts attacking, use the power of prayer to fight him back. We use the word of God to fight off the enemy, and it's only the word of God that he's going to respond to. So why do we pray? Because we have the power and the authority to do so, and because we know that it's essential to being victorious in every area of our life. Amen. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, says the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we know that we must seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, excuse me, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we know that when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your prayers on those, you know, as always, who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Pray for one another personally, you know, and of course, make sure to pray for yourself. It's not selfish to do that. Pray for our children. They're in school. Most of them, they should be anyway. A lot going on. You know, this last year and a half when our kids were home and they were doing virtual school, there were no school shootings. And now the kids haven't even been able to be in school, what, a month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and there's always something jumping off, you know, Texas, you know, all over the world. So we must keep our children lifted up in prayer. Please pray for our nation, the world, of course, that we live in. So much going on all over the world. Our leaders, please pray for those who have the rule over us. That is what the word says. You know, they face major decisions every single day that affect all of us, but they don't always, how should I say, use proper judgment. You know what I'm saying? They don't think about us as a whole. And so we really do have to pray that those who are believers in Christ and hold those positions do what's right. Okay, so we need to continue to make sure that we keep them lifted up in prayer so that the decisions that need to be made are not based on popularity or position or status or money, but because it's the right thing to do. Amen. So please make sure to continue to pray for those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, and of course make sure to keep all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world lifted up in prayer. So many more things. You can have your own prayer list. The list of things to pray for really and truly is inexhaustible. Amen. Special prayers, as always, go out to all of our mothers that run ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also, please keep in prayer Tyrone Hamilton. And again, Mother Cheryl, like I said, that's her husband, so she gets an extra dollop of prayers, okay? Keep Elder Joe Stevens and his family in prayer, of course, Pastor John Mack, and anybody and everybody that you need to add to that list, please keep them lifted up in prayer, amen? And we know that we must pray for those who are spiritually just lost and confused, you know, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is. Okay, so we need to remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which we know in today's time is your immediate household, Judea. Today's time is your immediate community, Samaria. Today's time outside of, you know, your comfort zone to people in places where you wouldn't normally, you know, go to, or people you wouldn't normally associate with. We're like, no, not them today. But, you know, we can't forget them. And as well as to the ends of the earth. So these are people in places you like, nah, me? Never. I ain't going over there. Well, you all know that they need the word of God too. And we can't be selfish and keep the gospel to ourselves, okay? It wasn't intended for that. So it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew 25:41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, okay? Not people. But we know that some will, you know, end up, unfortunately, there in eternal torment. So we know that this life is short and God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So please don't force your way and stand in line to get into a place that was not created for you. John 14:3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. And you guessed it, that I is Jesus, amen. So he's gone to prepare a place for us. So there is a place already for us, and guess what? It's not hell, okay? Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. So, you know, when you're sad, heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with just watching the news, how depressing. Like, the news is just, you know, if you've had a great day, don't go home and watch the news. It will just snatch every ounce of joy and happiness that you may have had that day. But we got to watch it because we got to know what's going on. So those things have the ability to just drag us down and keep us negative. And so after a while, it does make you feel heartbroken over the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis. So I encourage you to use these scriptures as well as many others in the Word of God to give you the strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. Amen. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers, and we pray God's comfort, healing, love and peace upon you as always. And there, Matthew 5:14-16 says, you, me, you, us, them, y'all, everybody, we're the light of the world, okay? If you belong to Jesus, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in this way, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We know we like to get stuff. We have stuff. We amass a bunch of stuff and we think we're blessed, okay? But blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. And we know that a kind word goes a really long way. The gift of love is free. We know that because it costs Jesus, but it doesn't cost us, okay? And we know that a warm smile is the universal language of kindness, okay? You can smile at somebody from across the way, across the street, and you can give somebody the warm fuzzies just because you made a smile, gave them a smile, amen? So just take time out today to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today, all right? Because as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. So just think about that, amen? Amen. All right, y'all. It's October. Happy, 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 happy birthday. Well, we halfway through the month. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. You already know how we do at Running for Christ Ministries. We send love and birthday wishes to everybody at Running for Christ Ministries who celebrated this month. So Pastor Terrence Tate, celebrated on the 9th. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate on the 10th. Quinaya celebrated on the 15th. Deaconess Loretta Welch, a.k.a. Deaconess Lolo. You heard her this morning read our opening scripture and prayer. She also celebrated on the 15th. And DeAndre will be celebrating on the 30th. So once again, happy, happy birthday to you all. Amen. So, ready for your devotional? This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. So, your devotional for today, your life is your time. And this is by Dr. Charles Stanley / In Touch Ministries in there. So it reads like this. Our lives are governed by time. That's why we're surrounded by clocks and calendars that dictate our activities. As the minutes tick by, we wonder where the day went. When responsibilities and pressures mount, we complain, oh, I just don't have time to get it all done. But the reality is that God has given us enough time to do exactly what he's planned for our lives. Perhaps the bigger issue is whether we are using our time to do our will or the Lord's will. Time is a gift from God, and he has allotted each of us a measure in which to live and accomplish his purposes. We have only two options, to spend it temporarily on our own interests or invest it eternally. Since time can never be retrieved or reversed, it's critical that we make the most of every opportunity the Lord provides. The key to investing in eternity is following God's plan for your life, not just filling your days with activities. Jesus was allocated just 33 years of life on earth, but only the last three were spent in fulfilling his messianic ministry. To us, that seems like a waste of time. Yet Christ accomplished everything his Father gave him to do. That's why on the cross he could say, it is finished. And that's John chapter 19, verse 30. Scripture compares earthly life to a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's James chapter 4, verse 14. But eternal life never ends. It's foolish to spend your life on a vapor when you can reap everlasting benefits by following God's will for your time here. Each day is an opportunity to choose how you choose to spend your time. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Time.
No.
All I sung was one verse of my baby Holy Ghost talking about.
No.
One verse.
No, Lord.
Amen.
No, not one verse.
See, y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right. I can sing.
No.
I can sing. You know, you need some earthworms. Now she done brought my monitor in here where she can't hear it, just in case I start singing. Lord, have mercy. Hey,
look,
unbelievable. I'm telling you.
No, we ain't going there.
Oh, Jesus. If I could put time in a bottle.
Mm-mm. No, God, no.
You know you like that.
No, that was horrible.
Thank you, Crystal.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate you.
Ooh, help Jesus.
Ooh, Jesus. Tell me or we say hello.
Ooh, I shall.
Amen. Okay, y'all. Jonathan, get me out of here before I start singing, man. Especially, sounding like the cowardly lion with the
Yeah, you need some rest.
Getting worse. Jesus, like you go from crying to singing.
Hey, that's all right. But as always, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. And with that, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for everything that's transpired today. We thank you for the love and the care that you provided where we could come to you boldly and freely. Help us to always keep you first and to follow your lead today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Thank you for the effort. Thank you for the work. And amen. You know, when it sticks with me, that lets me know Jesus is letting me know it worked. He got it done. And you know, have a blessed day, man. Tell them boys we said what's up.
We'll do. You do the same.
All right. Hey, man, we've had a blessed day this morning. The Lord has been good, and he's been, amen, with us. And you know, at Running for Christ Ministries Church, folk, don't get upset because we laugh and play and joke. We do that because Jesus done fixed everything. So we, amen, we have our times, amen, but not here. This is light shining time. Amen. I feel like singing. I'm going to sing to my wife while we on our next mission. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. I'm stuck between two songs. The Whispers, You Are With Me, or Whitney Houston, I Look to You. Who's going to win? I think Whitney won. Huh?
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come, and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
seem to rise no more, searching for that open door.